This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me see you put your hands up now. 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 Now.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich, love you. Brock, Del Tufo, what's up? TJ, my brother from another mother, love you.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. This is the Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Kirk Morrison. Earlier on the show, senior writer for The Athletic, Daniel Popper. Coming up, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Browns beat writer Mary Kay Cabot, Jets writer for The Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hour number two.
Here we go.
Yes, July 27th here. We almost in August, man. A couple more days till August. Yeah. Baseball trade deadline, if anybody wants to know. Just lurking out there. Ohtani seems to be staying put. That's what the talk is in Los Angeles.
Ohtani's on the mound in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's playing today. He's pitching today.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're watching that because the Angels are all in. So that's the one thing that's kind of been going and talked about today. We've had a little bit of Chargers talk. Talked a little of Sean Payton. I decided to, I want to take this time a little bit because I mentioned earlier with training camps opening all across the National Football League, I thought I would have a little training camp time. We'll talk about training camp. I mentioned a little earlier I had the best setup of all. My first 5 years in the National Football League, I played with the Oakland Raiders. It was great times, great times. The Napa Valley Marriott, it's beautiful. So I learned so much about being in Napa. I learned why the grapes are grown, the best grapes in the world, or on the planet, I should say, the planet. For some reason, I've done a couple of those wine tours, and I found out that Napa, this small little city, for some reason, the way that it sits and the earth's tilt and the access and the way the sunlight, it's like has a sub-Mediterranean climate that allows the grapes to just flourish, to bloom at its best. I found. Anyway, I know you're like, why are you telling me? Nobody cares about grapes. But what it did was for training camp, it gave us different climates. I would wake up in the morning and have to wear a full-on sweatsuit because it's like 50 degrees. It is so cool. I mean, you got the morning dew on the ground, mm-hmm. and you're like, what is this? Like, it's going to be cold today. Guys out there practicing, all that. And then you go inside, you take a little break, and then all of a sudden you have the afternoon practice. And it's 95 degrees, and you're looking around, and it ain't no breeze. It is just hot. And I'm like, wow. But it was a great setup. I remember playing in Jacksonville, 2010. This was the first time I experienced training camp at your own facility. Well, meaning that the Jaguars, whose facility was at the stadium. Now, they had since have a new facility that was built, brand new facility, spanking new Jacksonville. Shout out to them. But we had training camp at our own facility, at our own stadium. And so you stayed at the hotel and it was a lot of commuting back and forth. I didn't like all the commuting because when you're commuting, you got to go here and you got to put that in your drive time. Like, okay, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get to the stadium. So, okay, if I sleep until 4 and I got to be there at 4:30, okay, I got to leave at 4:11. It's going to give me it was just too much calculation and time. But it was a good training camp. A lot of fans. It was fun. Then I get to Buffalo, my last 2 years in the league. St. John Fisher College, Rochester, New York. Great place.
Great place. Dinosaur barbecue.
Yeah. So I had to go all the way out to a college dorm for practice. I'm like, I left college. Oh, I want to go back here for you. But stayed in the dorm, had good times. And so a couple training camp stories I would say is, it's always fun when guys, I think I remember one time we had in Napa, we had a team party. It wasn't a team party, but we would go and visit some of the wineries. And you never knew how much wine can really take you to a place that, like, whoa. You know, a lot of times guys are more of a, you know, hard liquor, or they have a couple brews. But, I mean, you do about two or three glasses of wine, and you're like, wait, hold on.
Like, whoa.
Let me take a seat. You know, you stand up, and you know, like, whoa, okay, let me sit back down. I remember we had those moments, man. Some of the great dinners we've had. And it really just had me thinking about, like, wow, like, training camp stories is more about the fights. Like, you've had fights between players because it's so hot. Like, the first week of camp right now, I'm just going to tell you how it goes so you guys can remember this, okay? Remember I told you this. This first 5-6 days of camp have been what? Been great.
Yep.
Everything's been amazing. I promise you, by Sunday, it's going to be all about the fights. You're going to have every beat reporter talking about, oh, there was a fight at Jets camp. There was a fight at Cowboys camp. There was a fight. You know why? Because I'm sick and tired of you. Like, people don't realize that when it's, you go to practice, it's first team defense versus first team offense, second team offense, second team. And you go up against each other every single day. At some point, you just, like, brotherly love. Like, dude, like, get away from me. I don't like you. Like, you're just ready to hit somebody else. And that's part of what training, it builds the character, it builds the camaraderie. Those are parts of it. And then there's also the dynamic of when you wake up, you've kind of have this feeling of, I need to go out and prove. I had to prove in training camp. I wanted to prove every year that I belong. And being a starting middle linebacker for, you know, majority of my career, like, I had to do the extra part. So I had to be up earlier. I had to know all this. And that's the things that I always remember about training camp. But I remember, again, I said this. Training camp, you always had to have a list of things with you. Okay? Like, there were certain things that I needed in order for me to be at my best. So I put together a little bit of a list. It may not be like something like, oh, you know, earth shattering, like, oh my God, but this was for me. This is what I needed. Okay. Let's bring up the list. So for me, Kirk's five items that I needed for training camp. Number one, I needed my pillow. You need a pillow. I'm talking about, like, look. I don't know how you guys feel about hotel pillows or dorm
pillows. Heavenly pillow is a good pillow.
You got to have your pillow.
Hotel pillows are so hit and miss.
Yes.
Yeah. You
don't, like, know. Yeah. Trust me, when you are in training camp, when the head hits the pillow, you got to go to sleep. It has to be instantaneous. It's not like, oh, I got to find the right spot. No, I brought my pillow. I needed that. Number two, moisturizer.
Yes.
Hey, don't be nasty. So this is one thing that people don't talk enough about. Training camp tears your skin up. You're taking multiple showers a day for the guys who do that kind of thing. I was a shower guy, 3 to 4 showers a day, because you had the morning workout, morning lift, then you had one practice, and then you had another practice, then you had a walk, and I'm a guy, I like to shower before I get into bed anyway. So your body, if I don't put on some moisturizer after, I'm over here, I'm scratching, my skin is dry. So I was a moisturizer guy too. Sunscreen, all that. You got to be prepared with that.
Kirk, I got lotion at the desk over there that I reapplied during every break. So
because you
got
to be moisturized. Yeah. Oh,
can't be ashy, dog.
That was number three. This was always my go-to. Because there's times where you woke up in the middle of the night or you get back from a long day. Sometimes you don't get to your room until 10 at night, 10:30. Peanut butter and jelly, man. Mm. I just needed a jar of peanut butter, some jelly, and I needed my bread, and I was good to go. Maybe a pizza, and I'm good to go. It lasts me to the morning. And sometimes you're just tired. They had, like, dinner set up, and you're like, I'm just tired. I just want to go to bed. I don't even feel like eating. I'll just grab a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, do that.
Quick, fast, and easy.
Sleep aids. Now, this is a little bit different. So sleep aids are more of, like, some people like white noise. I've turned to white noise now because it gets you to, like, this little trance moment. Are you like, all right, I'm gone. I had a teammate of mine who brought his childhood fan with him everywhere. He packed it on to go, I mean, on road trips. He packed it at training camp. He would, everywhere he would go, he pulls out on in his travel bag this big giant fan. He turned it on and he was like, yeah, this is my fan since I was like 9 years old. Like, dude, you're like 26. this fan has got miles on it. But he was like, this is the fan that I had since I was 9 years old. This is the only way I go to sleep. And I was like, no way.
Wow.
So I sleep aids for me. I needed something for me. I'm an air conditioner guy. As soon as I get in, I'm on 60. Like, that's where I did
60.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I had it on the other day. I was out of town with my wife, and we got to the hotel, and I had the air conditioner on. And she was like, what number is it on? I said, I don't know. I just turned it on. It's on 66.
That's cold.
And she's like, oh, could you please turn at least one down? Because she was like 6'6". I don't need that number. I was like, I got you. I understand. But yeah, I needed 60s. I needed that cold, and I still get under the covers. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I like the room. So those are my sleep aids. And my last thing, fellas, electronics. I would bring my, video game, mm-hmm. I was more of a Game Boy guy, or remember PlayStation, the PSP? Remember the PlayStation Portable? Yeah,
PSP.
Yeah, because I like to play, games as individuals. I couldn't play a Madden game because that would take up all your time. So I just was dabbling to it, but I needed a couple of electronics to get in and out. So that was my list. Now, I want to see what you guys would bring. I'll start with you, Brockman.
I like this list, Kirk. And the first thing I noticed on yours is the first thing that I wrote down. A cooling pillow. You're going to these places that are super hot.
I got
and
it.
And they now make
a cooling pillow.
Cooling pillows where it's cold so you can go to sleep. You can get in that right frame of mind. Obviously, a lot of these teams are in college campuses. What do college campuses don't have? They don't have air conditioning.
They don't.
So you need one of those portable AC units that you can wheel in, and then you have the hose that sticks out the window.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. A portable AC unit. Yep. Look, I need my Kindle because I got to read some books. I got to get Zen at the end of the night and wind that mind down so I can go to sleep because, like you said, I want to hit pillow. I want to be out.
Gotta go.
I got the Kindle combined with the AC, good room temperature, with the cooling pillow. That equals sleep. Now, late night snack, I need some microwave popcorn.
Oof.
I need that movie theater butter, microwave popcorn. Don't burn it.
Don't burn
it, because then you're going to stink up the whole floor and the whole dorm room. You don't want that. Microwave popcorn, and last but not least, got to have noise-canceling headphones. Why? What if you're with a roommate that you don't like?
Mm.
Sometimes you guys I've seen Hard Knocks just sharing rooms with dudes.
Yeah.
It's like freshman year of college all over again.
Yep.
Some guy's annoying. He snores. Got to have the noise-canceling headphones so you can, like we said, go to sleep and rest. Training camp is hard. It's hot. Got to be cool. Got to be comfortable. Got to be quiet.
Rookies and second-year players had to share rooms. Remember our rookie year, I had a roommate.
Call him out.
No.
Call him out.
Yeah. No. I can't even say his nickname on the team.
Oh, no.
Just know that.
Did he smell?
That was one thing. But just know that I had to get to the bathroom first because once he got there, it was just
that destroyed. Guy.
Yeah, maintenance, please.
Blow the bathroom. That guy.
What you got, Del Tufo? I've been thinking about this.
Come to me last because mine's actually more of a joke.
Okay.
TJ. I only say that because it's actually.
I don't know what that means.
Wait.
Okay. I like you guys' things. Chris, the portable AC, didn't even think about that. I figured I'd be playing for the Cowboys, so I know that they already have AC in the room, so I'm not worried about that.
Nice. Okay.
But some of my things are this. I agree with you guys. My own bedding. I need my pillows. You can't just go with the standard government issued. You got to get. But I'm talking my own sheets, my own pillows. My own pillowcases. I need to be comfortable to sleep at night. Middlesworth barbecue chips. You guys know they're my favorite chips. I brought them in.
Things. Okay.
Del Tufo loves them.
Those things are.
They're the best barbecue chip on the planet. Insane. I get them shipped in from Pennsylvania every few months. So I love those. I would have them.
Good.
I'm big on candles, my Woods Creek candles, because one, If we're playing football, we're going to be stinking a little. You got to bat that funk.
I like that.
Two, when Brockman's burning his popcorn, I can smell it, so I got to block that. So I need some fresh-smelling Woods Creek candles just to set the mood. And then, you know, my boy Daniel P. was the first one who I'd see doing this. He would show up to my other buddy's house with a roll of toilet paper. He would bring his own toilet paper wherever he went because he didn't trust other people. And Brockman knows this. When we go on the road sometimes, we're doing shows like we're going to Dallas or Canton. I'll go to Walmart and I will buy Charmin 2-ply toilet paper because it was, I spent 3 years on the road during my career making boxing documentaries. And I'm telling you, hotel bathrooms, they don't care about you, how you feel back there. So you got to get some Charmin soft toilet paper, man. Okay. It's necessary because what happens with bad toilet paper? Hemorrhoids. You don't want that. I'm trying to play football. I can't have that going on. And then lastly, I need my Roku stick, baby.
There you
know what I'm saying? Okay. I need my Roku stick.
I see you with the product
so
placement.
So I can watch the Rich Eisen show.
I got you.
So I, watch everything that's on Roku. Love Shout out to Roku Joe and Roku Charlie. Well, I need my Roku stick because I'm not going to get a lot of TV time, but the TV time I do get, I want to just chill. I want to relax. I just want to watch some, you know, mindless TV, some easy TV, some good TV.
I like
just
that.
Just to, like, help me come down after wrecking shop on that football field.
I like that list. Del Tufo, come on, man. What
since,
you got?
Since I'm an old guy and probably not going to be playing, I bring my headphones, number one, my DJ setup, so at least I can provide entertainment.
Oh, of course.
DJ, Chris,
there's actually some players who do that. There's some players who do that. Yep.
That's where we're hanging out,
vodka. Yeah. I don't drink as much as I used to, but I got to be at least have a couple every night. And then, of course, I'm going to bring a really comfortable chair for the sidelines.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be watching you guys practice while I'm not sitting there because I'm definitely not going to be on the field.
Okay.
And then snacks. Lots of snacks. Because while I am watching you guys, I'm going to need to eat some stuff. So I'm going to be have snacks. Peanuts, popcorn, you know, whatever I got.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm
disappointed in you, man.
I mean, what do you want me to bring? In the 80s, like I said to you yesterday, 80s Mike would have had a totally different list. 90s Mike would have had a totally different list.
80s Mike would have been popped by the league and not playing.
You wouldn't even be able to. Yeah, I would be in, I'd probably be in jail.
I'm disappointed in you, Mike. I expect more from you, Mike.
What'd you expect? I mean,
I expect you to bring, like, your lovey or something, like your little stuffed animal. You know, like.
Oh, he's definitely taking Olaf.
I have a Grogu, and I would bring my Grogu.
See?
I'd add my little Grogu and my little Olaf. Yeah, they would be in there.
There you go.
So I could add those in.
All right. Wow. Oh, God. Well, that's our training camp list.
Kirk, I'm telling you.
Paper. Look, that's big.
Training camp is a fun time. It doesn't last forever, but it is a time in which it gets very uncomfortable. Sometimes, you know, you've seen training camps around the National Football League. It's been, you know, news. Everybody's around. But there's just been one training camp that's been very quiet. Very quiet. Last year was not quiet. It was a lot. This year it is quiet. We'll talk about that training camp coming up next with Mary Kay Cabot. Yeah. She, Cleveland Plain Dealer, beat writer for the Browns. Coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
What was your baseball game like?
My baseball game was pretty good, but I didn't play in high school. I played like recreational league in Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And I used to pitch.
Pitch as well.
Pitch and hit,
So what was your pitching game like?
The pitching game was pretty good. I mean, I didn't, you know. I was a heavy ball. I didn't know, I had no idea how fast I was throwing. But people used to say, man, you got a heavy ball.
So when we're watching you swing in Major League as Pedro Serrano, is that your swing?
That's my swing. Oh, and I don't know if we ever talked about this, but every ball I hit out, I hit out, except not as far as they shot it out, because they have to reverse the cameras.
Hold on a second, Dennis Haysbert. How many home runs did you hit?
I hit three in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think I hit three in the movie. I hit every one of them I hit out.
Okay. And all the batting practice,
I used to hit routinely.
So were you the best hitter of all the actors?
I would say so. So Charlie and I were the only guys that could really play baseball. Wesley was really athletic.
Okay.
And could run, but wasn't much of a hitter.
He couldn't hit, but could Charlie hit, or he was just...
Charlie could hit, and Charlie could pitch.
But you went yard more than anybody else in the cast of Major League.
Except for the baseball guys that were out there.
Actual. So who was the worst?
Oh, I can't. I won't say.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. That microphone works. Corbin Burnson, could he?
Corbin was okay. I think Tom Berenger was like maybe the
worst. No kidding.
Yeah. I love you, Tom. You know, he forced it out of me, man.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We turn our attention to Cleveland. I can't wait to get a chance to talk to Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Cleveland Browns for cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, I was talking about this earlier. Last year, this was the camp that everyone was talking about. So much news, so much buzz. It was a lot of the Deshaun Watson news. Will he play? Will he won't play? What's the contentions of a suspension? And then all of a sudden, we fast forward to 2023. This has probably been one of the quieter camps nationally. What do you say locally? What has been the vibe of this year's camp so far?
Well, one of the reasons why it might be a little quiet is because we are all sequestered down here in West Virginia at the Greenbrier Resort. Yeah. There are no fans here, so it's just the media, you know, that can't travel down here with the team. So you don't have, you know, all the nationals here like we did last year. You know, there's not a huge media contingent, so that might be one of the reasons. But as you mentioned, one of the other big reasons is the fact that, you know, the whole Deshaun Watson controversy has settled down so much this year. No one's waiting to find out how many games he's going to be out. I mean, there's just a whole different vibe. It's all about football now in regards to Deshaun Watson. And he did stand up in front of his teammates, gave his life story the other night, and, you know, really talked to them just about, you know, what shaped him as a young man growing up and how he got to the point that he is today, shared some things about what he, you know, what he has gone through and experienced and, the whole off the field situation that he has. He talked about that, apparently not, you know, he touched on it. I don't know right. that he really completely delved into it, but that was part of the narrative and part of his story, of course. And but other than that, it's been all about football for him here.
Yeah, I know all about football for him. But what about his teammates now? You mentioned he's having conversations with them. But how relieved are they now that they can talk football and not about a team that will have Deshaun or without have Deshaun? It seems like everybody seems to be more relieved that they can focus on the game rather than Deshaun Watson.
Well, yes, absolutely. They all know who their quarterback is going to be for the whole year. They're not trying to divide reps in half. They're not trying to divide, their chemistry in half. So they're getting to know him. He's getting to know them. He's developing a really nice on-the-field chemistry with Elijah Moore, who looks really, really good so mm-hmm. far this camp. Pads are coming on for the first time tomorrow, but Elijah is definitely somebody to watch. I did a story on him last night where I got a chance to ask him, you know, did you really, you know, tell Mike LaFleur to, you know, go F himself like it had been reported? Because, you know, his whole life basically kind of, and career sort of changed after that. And so I got a chance to explore that with him a little bit, and that was cool. And then I talked to Za'Darius Smith today just about, you know, how the Browns have to establish a mentality and make sure that teams know they're a force to be reckoned with. So, yeah, there's some cool stuff coming out of here.
Yeah, I can tell there's some cool stuff because you mentioned Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, obviously. We know about Deshaun Watson and one full year for him. But I think that there is this sense that, and we're going to talk a little bit, too, about the AFC North. And we know about Burrow. We know about Lamar Jackson, right? Kenny Pickett is still up and coming. But right now, if people were looking, They feel like the Deshaun Watson of this year will be a lot better of what he was next year. But what does that put the expectations for this football team? Do they believe that they are a team that can win the division and make the playoffs right now?
Well, they certainly do. I mean, they really aren't getting that kind of love from, you know, from Vegas or the odds makers or really the, you know, the national pundits. But they certainly feel here that this is a football team that can win the AFC North, go to the playoffs, and challenge for the Super Bowl. That's the vibe. That's what they intend to do. That's what this is all about. And, you know, the energy here is really, really good. And when you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, if you can get him back to where he was in 2020, then you really do have a legitimate shot at that. And I think it really hinges on that. If he can be that player that everybody remembers from his Houston days and his three Pro Bowl days and his leading the NFL with 4,823 yards in 2020 days, then, you know, then they could be on to something. But it really hinges upon that in large part. And then defensively, you know, you've got a new coordinator in Jim Schwartz. You've got Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, a lot of good guys over there. If it all comes together the way that it should, they have as good a chance of anybody in the division.
She's Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. Expectations for this football team that now has Deshaun Watson for a full year. But how do we view or look at the head coach, Kevin Stefanski? I know there's a lot of rumors and reports out there that his seat could be getting warm and warmer as the season goes along if the Cleveland Browns aren't playing to what some may say a playoff type level.
Well, you know, it's difficult to say. I mean, right. The owner of the football team stopped very short of putting any kind of an ultimatum on Kevin Stefanski. He's not drawing the line in the sand and saying, if such and such doesn't happen, these guys are gone. There isn't anything like that right now. So I think, you know, for the most part, no one's trying to speak anything like that into existence. There is a strong vibe that he is the right man for the job and that, you know, it's a lot easier to coach well when you have an elite quarterback like Deshaun Watson. So if he can get Deshaun Watson playing like the Deshaun Watson of old, then his job will be perfectly safe because they'll be winning a lot of football games. So that's the key. They've got to go out there and they've got to win games. They cannot have a third losing season. The bar is set at the playoffs for sure. There's no question about that. That's everyone knows that, you know, you don't go out and spend three first round picks and $230 million guaranteed on your quarterback and not expect to make the playoffs. So they do expect to make the playoffs. They have the Super Bowl as their goal. And you know, I don't know if Kevin's job depends on making the playoffs or not. I think we have to see how it all plays out.
You mentioned a name a little bit earlier, Za'Darius Smith, on that defense. I thought that was a defense last year in Cleveland that people didn't really talk enough about in terms of they really let the team down a little bit. There were a lot of games where they were in, even when Jacoby Brissett was at quarterback, and the defense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They're much improved with some of those additions, whether it's guys coming back from injury or even the addition of Za'Darius Smith. What do you see so far from this Cleveland Browns defense?
Well, you know, just with Jim Schwartz alone, yeah, you can see that they're going to be much more aggressive up front. It will be a much more attack-minded defense. I already also see the defensive backs playing much more aggressively, really going after the ball, attacking it. So it's just that's sort of the buzzword. They're just attacking from all over the place. And again, I just talked to Za'Darius Smith, and he talked about how they do have to establish that, you know, that tough-minded mentality. When you think of AFC North defenses, he played for the Ravens back when they had, you know, Terrell Suggs and those guys. And he knows what it's like to play tough, hard-nosed AFC North football. We know what the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is always like. So that's what the Browns are aiming for, to play the kind of Cleveland Browns defense that their fans can be proud of, that the AFC North has to fear.
Is there an underrated player that we're not talking enough about? Because I'm looking around at the roster right now, Mary Kay, and I'm seeing a Cedric Tillman from Tennessee, a young wide receiver who they took. You've Donovan Peoples-Jones, where does he fit at now in this offense? Obviously, Amari Cooper is number one. Is Elijah Moore number two? How does this wide receiving room start to pan out a little bit?
Well, right now, Amari Cooper is out with a little bit of some kind of an injury. It shouldn't be something that bothers him long term. They're calling it a minor tweak, but he's really not practicing right now. So it's giving some of the younger guys an opportunity to shine. Elijah Moore is really standing out. So you got to watch out for Elijah Moore. When you look back to his rookie year with the Jets, he had this one stretch where he had 5 touchdown catches in 6 games. Right. And then he hurt a quad muscle, I think it was, and he missed the last 5 games. But he was on a tear. He was on a tear before that, and then last year just kind of got weird. And, you know, I think he is aiming to get back to that pace that he was on. So he's definitely one to watch. As you mentioned, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's always a good, solid player for the Cleveland Browns. And now they've got Jordan Akins. He's a tight end that they got from the Texans. And I think he's somebody that's going to make an impact. He's played with Deshaun Watson before. So offensively, you know, those are some of the guys that, you know, that are making an impact. They wanted Marquise Goodwin to come in and be their vertical stretch guy. He's sidelined with blood clots. Everyone just is only, of course, concerned with his health and his safety at this point. But that was a little bit of a setback. And then another speedster, Anthony Schwartz, third rounder. He, you know, he got back on the field today. He can prove now. He needs to go out there and prove that he deserves a spot on this roster. And there's an opening for a speed guy like that now.
Just a couple more minutes here with Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. You know, next week, the Browns will be playing in the Hall of Fame game, but that also means that they'll have a player who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know you had a chance to cover Joe Thomas. Just your thoughts on Joe Thomas entering the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the first ballot Hall of Famer. We knew that was going to happen, but your interactions with him and just what do you think he represents for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, he just embodies the whole spirit of the Cleveland Browns. He was the face and the voice of the Cleveland Browns for so many years when there was upheaval and just turnover with quarterbacks and coaches and GMs. And Joe was a rock of stability. He was just somebody you could always go to for that great quote to put everything in perspective. He was wonderful with the media. He was amazing on the football field. The first time I ever talked to him in rookie minicamp, I asked him his goals. He said, I plan on making the Hall of Fame. And look, then I got to sit in the room as a Hall of Fame selector and help vote him into the Hall of Fame. So it was just, I was honored to be able to do that, you know, to speak up for Joe a little bit on his behalf also in the room and, you know, help him get in there. Not that he needed my help, but it was just great to, you know, to be able to be part of that vote and see that through from what he said at that rookie minicamp. And I'll tell you, I mean, he just set the tone for so many guys on this team, like Joel Bitonio, who sort of has taken the baton from Joe. And he's been playing at an all-pro clip for several years now and just kind of is also now that great locker room guy that helps everybody and is great in the community. And you just can't say enough good things about Joe Thomas.
You know, Mary Kay, everyone sees the game differently. Like, you may look at it something differently. I may see something differently. But you've been covering Cleveland Browns for a long time. You've been covering the NFL for a long time. As you've already started this training camp upcoming, for you, what's the blank canvas that you start with, that you look at first, that you kind of just examine or you tend to look at, or you see there may be something in which you want to write more on this or you see that? How do you, as a reporter and someone who covers the team, how do you start training camp?
Well, you know, everything's new this year, right? And that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see, you know, how is it all coming together? They have a completely new offense, basically. I mean, Deshaun Watson is the starter full-time for the very first time for the Cleveland Browns. It's the beginning of the Deshaun Watson era, really. I mean, it starts now. Last year, that wasn't it. He only played the final 6 games. So, for me, that's the blank canvas. Who is Deshaun Watson? What is he all about? Is he going to live up to everything the Haslam felt that he would when they went out and took this enormous risk and put their fan base through having to accept a player with, you know, so many things in his past that people were uncomfortable about? You know, how is this all going to look? How is it going to come together? And if it does come together the way that everyone hopes, then this could be the start of something big. I mean, you have to have a quarterback that can go head-to-head in the AFC with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, and now they feel they have that guy. And they really haven't had that guy since the team came back in 1999. Right. They have not had an elite, Pro Bowl quarterback like this who you can say, you know what, he can go into a game against Patrick Mahomes and have a chance to really beat him. So for me, that's what this is all about.
Before I get you out of here, Mary Kay, is this just a one-off, the Browns going up to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, or is this – because usually I know training camp's always over in Brea, Ohio, at the Cleveland Browns Training Center. Is this just like a one-off, or they want to do something different this year?
Well, they wanted to do something different because they have the Hall of Fame game. So they started camp a week earlier than everybody else. And in order to get guys kind of excited to come back and break it up a little bit and not be in Berea from July 21st all the way to what they hope is February, they wanted to change it up a little bit. So they're down here. It's beautiful. So far, so good with everyone. It seems like it's going really, really well. And they will be back in Berea, so fans will be able to come out and see them for 8 practices in Berea. We all leave here on Sunday after 9 days of being down here and 8 practices. And you know what? They'll see how it goes. If it seems like it was beneficial in terms of camaraderie and all those things, then they could possibly do it again.
Well, we are 1 week away from the Hall of Fame game between the Jets and the Browns. I know you'll be covering it. You'll be all over it, Mary Kay. I appreciate the time as always.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mary Kay Cabot, the Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. Well, you get a lot of optimism there. You know, a little excitement. It's something that she said about the blank canvas. This truly is the start of the Deshaun Watson era. You can't really say that 2022 was the start of the Deshaun Watson era because he only played, what, 6 games?
6 games, I believe.
Right. So this truly is, it's almost like their offseason quarterback. They got a taste of it last year, but this is the full entree, the full Deshaun Watson experience. And it has got a question. How do we rank the quarterbacks in the AFC North?
Ooh.
I love these like rankings. How do we rank, or just the AFC North in general,
rankings,
fellas? I want you guys to kind of let that marinate for a second.
Okay.
First of all, how do we rank the quarterbacks in the AFC North? And also, what do we think about the AFC North? We got that coming up next here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich.
I have a few questions about Cincinnati that you might have to know if it's true or false. You're from Athens, right?
I am, yeah.
It's a 3-hour drive from Cincinnati, right?
Two and a half.
Well, with a lead foot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay. I've got 4 aspects of Cincinnati, and I want to know if you're already ready to figure out about this city. I'm just picking that city out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false, Cincinnati, true or false with Joe Burrow, everybody. True or false, it's the birthplace of Academy Award-winning director Steven Spielberg.
False.
Is that true or false?
I have no idea.
It is true.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, that's number one. Play-Doh was invented in Cincinnati, true or false?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say all these that you're saying are true.
Okay, it is true. Now, just hold on a second. Just because you can read a defense doesn't mean that you can read me right now, okay? This pre-snap. Cincinnati is the site of the United States' biggest celebration of Oktoberfest.
That's true.
Okay, you knew that right then and there.
I know about the parties, yeah.
You know
about
yeah. Have you been to an Oktoberfest?
I have not,
okay.
No.
Are you going to have to talk about it with your team first?
We'll have to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, talk about it with your team. And the number one radio station in Cincinnati is WKRP.
That one, I have no idea.
Before his time,
it's
Rich.
False. There's a famous TV show called WKRP in Cincinnati that is way before your time. Have you never heard of it at all? Gosh darn it.
I'm older than most college football players, but I'm not that old.
I mean, we've heard you're older than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was in my recruiting class. Yeah.
Okay.
Couple months, I think.
And if you had one choice of a meal, would you pick crawfish or spaghetti with chili?
Crawfish.
Really?
I don't like all the Cincinnati cuisine as far as all that stuff.
Not yet. Greater
size. I might learn to like it, but we'll see.
Okay. Very good.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. You like that? Oh, yeah, I was dancing to the beat, man. You already know. It's Thursday. It feels like a Friday, but it's actually a Thursday.
Friday,
you know?
Vibes.
I like so it. You'd be in my room when I'm DJing. You see, you'd be having a good time at training camp. Yeah,
that would do. I would try to find some stuff to do just to get away, just to not think about it. That's the one thing, too, about training camp. You don't know what day it is.
They all play.
I remember once I was so tired after a meeting. After lunch break. So you had the lunch break. We didn't have a practice that day. We just had meetings that were at 8 o'clock. And so I remember after lunch, we had a treatment, go back to my room, set my alarm. Okay. I set my alarm and was in like the deepest of deepest sleeps. So I woke up when the alarm hit and so 7:30, the alarm goes off and I wake up. I'm like, oh, man, didn't realize that it was 7:30 p.m. I thought it was 7:30 a.m. because at that time, the sunlight was like at the same.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know
oh, yeah.
what I mean? Like,
I know that.
You couldn't tell whether the sun was rising or the sun was setting. You just didn't look the same. And I woke up and I literally got dressed and I walked over to the football facility. And there was nobody there. And I'm just like, what the? Oh, wow. I really didn't, because everybody was inside getting ready for the meetings. I was on time for the meeting, but it was just, that's when I knew, like, I was just delirious at that point. I was like, I'm done with training camp. It is literally 2.5-3 weeks of being uncomfortable. And so they always, oh, make the uncomfortable comfortable. Well, I couldn't wait to go get in my own bed. And I remember once the last day of training camp, I want to say everybody's bags are packed the night before. You get out there and you go to practice, and really coaches all know guys are just going through the motions. We know that once this practice is over, guys don't even shower. You just hop in your car and you're leaving. I remember we get done with practice and everybody's trying to get out of there. But Zach Crockett, longtime fullback, Florida State. He had this big giant, I want to say it may have been an Avalanche truck. He parked sideways and blocked the exit for everybody to get out of the facility, of the parking lot. So everyone's trying to find him, but he did it on purpose. So instead of everybody being able to bail, we had to wait like 30 minutes. And you talk about furious. There are some dudes who I'd never seen swear. They were swearing. Some dudes who were just like the coolest, calmest, and they were like, where's Zach? Where's he at? And it was so Zach did it on purpose, made us all wait a little bit longer. And then finally he moved his car. We all got out of there. But yeah, man, sometimes. But the AFC North has been on my mind a little bit because obviously we'll have the pretty soon. When it gets done, it gets done. That's the words of Joe Burrow. We'll be the highest paid player in NFL history coming up soon. And I try to put a little ranking together. How would I rank just the quarterbacks in the AFC North? Joe Burrow is obviously one. I think Joe Burrow is also part of a wider conversation I think we're going to have in the next hour. I'll tease it now, by the way, in the next hour, because I want to hear what people's thoughts are, by the way, on this. Who's the second best quarterback in the league?
I like that.
I want to give that time to like breathe a little bit. I think we all know the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes. And yep. Don't argue with me. That's just what it is. Just fine. But who's two? Who's number two? Well, that's for the second hour. But for the AFC North, AFC North, though, I think Lamar Jackson's got a big year. Not saying he's number two in that division, but I'm saying he's got a big year to regain who he is as a quarterback. Remember, there are people talking about Lamar Jackson, and, oh, if you start a team, Lamar would be there 2 years ago. And Lamar's luster has kind of – it's not there anymore. It's not there. Joe Burrow has taken over this league probably because of what he's done against Patrick Mahomes. But Joe Burrow ranks number one in that division. But then where's Deshaun Watson at? Is this another one of – I feel like Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson are very much even in this conversation because they both have a lot to prove. If Deshaun Watson is like Mary Kay at Cabot just said a little bit earlier, if Deshaun Watson is who we thought he was from a couple years ago, are we just saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah? Because people were saying Deshaun Watson was a top three, top four in the National Football League just a couple years ago. He's got to prove that again. Lamar Jackson's got to prove that again. What are the expectations for Kenny Pickett? Second-year player. But, hey, we saw what Trevor Lawrence did in his second year after having a bad – Trevor Lawrence made the Pro Bowl last year. Not for people who don't care. Hey, he made the Pro Bowl. That's what it is. But his first year, he threw way too many interceptions. Trevor Lawrence got better, had a better year too. Can Kenny Pickett be better? And this is more about a team thing. I saw that the Steelers have an extended Mike Tomlin's contract as a head coach. So what does that do for the Steelers? Could they be going in a different direction if the Steelers don't show more than just getting over 500, right? Oh, remember, it's just, oh, Steelers over 500. That was just the goal. Now they got to win some playoff games. It hasn't been that way. So when you guys look at just the AFC North overall, how are you excited about the quarterbacks, number one? But how do we, at the end of the year, how are we going to view this division, you think?
I think it's a sneaky good division. It's one that not everybody's really talking about at all, like we've been saying. I've been saying it too. We're not talking at all about the Browns.
At all.
But Deshaun Watson, do you think prior to 2021, was he a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL? I think so. I think he was playing like it.
Yeah, top five, top six.
He maybe not have been in that top tier, but he was right there in tier two.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be improved in this division. Yes. They all did things to make themselves better. We got another year of Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. Fully going through everything. He's going to be the starter week one, made some improvements on offense. Browns are going to be really good. Really good on defense. Nick Chubb's the best running back in the NFL.
Mm.
Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, they've been to a Super Bowl. Expectations are already super high for them.
They could have went again last year. They're a couple plays away from going last
year.
They could have went to two in a row.
Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is back with his deal. Let's assume he's going to be healthy for the entire year, which he has not the last couple of seasons. But they're vastly improved on offense around him. They have a new offensive coordinator.
Odell Beckham Jr.? I'm just saying.
I gotta see it.
There it is.
That's a name on paper. Let's see it on the field.
Right.
And Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett showed a lot of moxie late in the year last year.
Yeah.
Some comeback wins. Obviously got Mike Tomlin, got TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, really good defense, good weapons on offense. Najee Harris proves he can be a good running back in this league. George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, really good wide receivers. Freiermuth is one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Top to bottom, you could really make a case that every team can win the division, every team can be a playoff team, but it's going to be unlikely that three teams make it, so who's out? Unclear, but top to bottom, really, really good. Strong division, maybe the best in the NFL.
That's the funny part about these divisions. Somebody's got to come in last.
Yep.
It's just like, there's a lot of good football teams, but just know in a good division, someone's got to come in last. The AFC East.
Yeah.
Someone has to come in last in the AFC East. Who is it going to be? I mean, Miami, Jets, Patriots, Bills. Like, someone has to come in last in that division, but they're all improved. And I'm just, those two divisions in general, AFC East, AFC North, I feel bad because I feel like they're going to beat up on each other too. So you may have a team that's 10-7, 11-6, but yet their record may not indicate it, but they're a solid football team. The AFC by far is a lot more competitive than I think the NFC. We've all said that already. Yeah. We look at the NFC as more of a four-team race, whereas the AFC is, I think you can make a case for at least 10 teams in the AFC. Is that too many?
That's not enough.
You can go more than 10.
I think
to be serious contenders in the AFC.
I think the only teams in the AFC they can really rule out are the Colts and Texans because they have rookie quarterbacks. Yep. Rookie quarterbacks traditionally don't have a lot of wins and playoff wins.
Wow.
In the NFL, traditionally.
Correct.
So I think if you just look, I don't want to cross anybody off, but if we're just going to like in pencil, light shade, put a line through, you're putting it through the Colts and Texans. Everybody else, you could really make a case for playoffs. Titans in a weak division. Mm-hmm. Browns, a lot of unknowns, but Deshaun back. Raiders, Jimmy G is there. Denver, Sean Payton revitalizing Russell Wilson. The Jets were 10th last year.
Yeah.
They have the fifth best Super Bowl odds, and they were 10th in the AFC.
That's what makes this thing so good.
And you know, guys, going back to Deshaun Watson, Chris, and you kind of touched on this. He had a 3-year stretch where he threw for 40. He averaged 4,280 yards.
He was awesome.
28 touchdowns and just 9 picks. In case you forget, Deshaun Watson was the truth.
Yeah, he was the truth. But then, hey, he's got to prove it. That's what this year is about. 2023 prove it year for a lot of folks.
And you just look at the playoff teams, we've talked about this in recent weeks, but, you know, just run down. Which teams would you say are locks in the AFC for
playoffs? So last year, who made the playoffs last year?
Last year, it was Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville won the South, Chargers, Ravens, Dolphins were the 7th seed.
Who do you take out?
Oof. Who is out?
Who's out? Like, you know, everybody said, oh, yeah, this team's going to make the playoffs. Like, okay, so who do you take out from the 7?
The thing is, like, people think the Jets are going to make the playoffs, right?
Correct. So who do you take?
Dolphins, I guess, are out, right? You think Pittsburgh's improved? You think Cleveland's improved? You think Denver's improved? Okay, who do they replace? Are the Chargers out? That would mean the Chargers are out if you think Raiders and Broncos are in. If you think Cleveland's in, that means Baltimore or Cincinnati are out. How?
Oof. We still haven't talked about the Patriots.
The biggest shrug emoji team in the AFC, maybe.
The shrug emoji? That's what you say?
Just like, I don't know. Could Mac Jones be really good again? Maybe. Could they be much improved on offense? I sure hope so. With the players that they brought in, Mike Gesicki, Juju Smith-Schuster, Bill O'Brien is a huge addition just as a head coach. Ramondre Stevenson could have. They're in the Dalvin Cook race still.
Remember we talked about.
And the defense is going to be top 5. That should be a playoff team. Remember, but they could be 10th.
2 years ago, we were like, Mac Jones is like, we did it. We got our guy for the future. We got our guy.
That was junk.
And now he's just Patriots quarterback Mac Jones. He's not the savior anymore. More on the Rich Eisen Show.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.